This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name is Jim Santel. I'm sitting in for Maggie for this, the second hour of our afternoon broadcast. Delighted to have still with me a tremendous guest, a tremendous public servant throughout his career, both in the federal system, now in the municipal system as well. It's Mayor Dennis McBride of the city of Wauwatosa. Dennis, thanks for sticking with me for a few more moments. Dennis and I are talking about not only his experiences as a mayor of this major, major city in America and the state of Wisconsin, but also the fact that he is committed to paper. Much of his experience in that major year 2020, a book called A City on the Edge, Pandemic, Protest, and Polarization. Dennis, right before we broke, you were talking about Thomas More and the civics lesson coming out of that. And I want to just have you finish up on that thought, and then we'll move on to a couple of other things related to the First Amendment. And then we'll tell people where they can get a copy of your book if they're so inclined.
Well, the point of A Man for All Seasons and Moore's comment there is that the man was a saint of the Catholic Church, and even he said, I would give the devil due process. The point is, we don't prejudge people. We put them through a legal system, and it was not my job as mayor to fire a police officer. That's the job of a police and fire commission. It was my job to fulfill my oath of office, which was to uphold the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin and the United States of America and give people due process. So that's the point of that. But I try to weave in those references to literature and other things to give people a perspective.
Absolutely. You also talk in the book about First Amendment concepts and some real practical applications and, frankly, some misunderstandings, perhaps among some of your residents about how that works in America. Give us that story. Tell us the story and the takeaway in terms of not just law school instruction, but also how we should understand our rights as Americans.
Well, I have a chapter called Time, Place, and Manner, and every person who's ever been through law school understands that concept. And the Supreme Court has interpreted the First Amendment to say it is not an absolute right. We all balance our rights against each other. So you have a right to protest, Jim. I have a right to protest. But you can protest in places at 3 in the afternoon, but not 3 in the morning. I had people coming to my house at 2 o'clock in the morning with speakers that were 6 feet high, blaring music at my house. They were driving on neighbors' lawns. One person actually at some point shot a BB through my window. Still have a hole in my window from that on my porch. That is not observing the law.
It is not.
The ACLU has guidelines that are based on Supreme Court cases. If people want to know more, they should look at that. It's available online. It's a very good statement, and I implored people in 2020 to observe those guidelines, and unfortunately, a lot of them didn't. But I warned people that if they didn't comply with the law, they were going to be arrested at times, or they're going to get ticketed at times. And they were outraged when they got ticketed or arrested, but if they were breaking the law, they were breaking the law. The First Amendment doesn't protect people who light fires in dumpsters or shoot shotguns at people's homes, which happened in Wauwatosa at one point during the protest.
As you and I have often said in the past, and we continue to say, there is no right in America that is unconditional, right? They're all premised upon the notion we live in a society of people, and we need not only to be respectful, but also thoughtful about where the limits of our rights are. And even as we express them. So appreciate that comment. Dennis, talk with us about what's next. Path forward, new equilibriums. I know you speak about that in your book as well. What's next for Wauwatosa and your leadership of it?
Well, again, I want to just point out how important Wauwatosa is. It's considered the third leading source of votes for Democrats in the state now. It's been gone through a political evolution. But at night, we're the 14th largest city in the state. During the day, we're the fourth largest city after Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay. We have 105,000 people working here, going to school, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an important city with a kind of a funny name. But here's what I say at the end of my book. It's post-2020, it's easy to be pessimistic about our political system. But we've survived the Civil War, assassinations, depressions, and political scandals in the past. We forget that change takes time and hard work. Wauwatosa was a segregated community, and we slowly returned to the roots of our abolitionist forebears who founded this city. But we have a long way to go. What I say is, to move forward, we must work together. In 1892, a Massachusetts editor wrote a pledge that people recite almost every day. He talks about a republic, for an indivisible nation of diverse states and people. He talks about liberty and justice for all. We take that oath, that pledge, almost every day. When Benjamin Franklin left Independence Hall after the Constitutional Convention was over, a neighbor said to him, "What kind of government do we have?" And he said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And that's the point. Our society is always, always a work in progress. For all of us, that requires that we not just take pledges every day, but we actually are faithful to the notion of an indivisible republic. We believe in representative government, which has been violated a lot in the last 5 years. The rule of law, similarly violated. We have to be dedicated to liberty and justice for all, but it takes more than elected officials to do that. It's, again, a team sport. We all must be involved in that. It takes teamwork. So that's my move forward. The new equilibrium. The new equilibrium is going to be found at the city level. This is where we are closest to the people. We provide services every day to people. They can literally reach out and touch their elected officials. Those people in Washington and Madison are far away, but in Wauwatosa and Glendale and Milwaukee and West Dallas, we're all very close. You know where to find me. So if we all work together, we can start turning the ship around.
Dennis, if listeners, and I know they do, want to get a copy of your book coming out later this month, how do they go about doing that, getting a copy of A City on the Edge, Pandemic, Protest, and Polarization? Where can you go to get that?
The book will be available starting on September 30th. They can pre-order at the Indiana University Press website. If you type in IU Press McBride on Google, you'll find the book and you'll be able to order from that. It also points out that you can get the book through on the Barnes & Noble website, Books A Million. I'm told that Boswell Books and will be carrying it, so other bookstores will have it. There are multiple ways to get it, but if you're really eager to get it, you can pre-order now on the Indiana University website.
That is Dennis McBride. He is the mayor of the city of Wauwatosa. He is also an author of a book called A City on the Edge, Pandemic, Protest, and Polarization. Dennis, my friend, I want to thank you so very much for being with me, with Jacob, with all the listeners here on Civic Media and the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. We will look forward to more conversation with you in your official capacity and also as a published author on the times ahead. Thank you so much, Dennis, for being a part of our discussion this afternoon.
Jim, it's been a true honor. Thank you so much.
Take care. As we continue here on the Maggie Dawn Show, as always, we like to encourage you to be a part of our discussion, commenting on that, commenting on other issues that we have discussed. I know that Mark from Perry Dusac, you've been on the line for a while. And Mark, glad to have you a part of our discussion this afternoon here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Mark, are you with us? All right. It sounds like Mark may not be with us anymore. Let's talk about another issue related to a federal district court judge who has, issued sort of a bookend, if you will, to the decision issued by the federal district court judge in Boston. This one on the other side of our country. And this one having to do with the presence of federal troops in Los Angeles, and in particular, decision about whether or not the president's decision to bring and order federal troops, military troops into Southern California is legal or not. This also coming out just recently by a federal district court judge. We've talked about him before here on the Maggie Dawn Show and in other broadcasts here on Civic Media. His name is Charles R. Breyer. Again, a federal district court judge. He is in San Francisco. And this decision that he has rendered just this week comes more than 2 months after, as we all know, this very contentious deployment of troops in Los Angeles in June. That has dwindled now to about 300 National Guard soldiers, but they're still there. And although that presence is still there, the issue is, what about this idea of a national police force? It has taken plainly an increased focus and attention of all of us, given the fact what's going on right now in Washington, D.C., a militarization of our domestic police force there, presence threatened in other cities, including Chicago, other places around the nation, maybe even Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We don't know exactly what the president's plan may be, but he has certainly talked about expanding what has been going on in Los Angeles and other places, including Washington, D.C., and other cities around the nation. So what do we have here? We've got federal judge Charles Breyer. Charles Breyer telling us that the president's use of troops in Los Angeles is illegal, and finding that the deployment exceeded the limits that generally prohibit the use of military force for domestic law enforcement. As we've talked so often on this, the Maggie Dawn Show, and other places, there is a dramatic difference between domestic law enforcement, the kinds of things they do, the focus of it, which is intended for safety and security. It is meant to be, obviously, a service organization. Entities around the nation in cities and villages and towns, big and small, that are representative of the community, yes, and also serving the community, their constituencies, quite literally, you and me, the people in our nation. What the judge has said here in his very important decision is that the systematic use of armed soldiers whose identity was often obscured by protective armor and military vehicles to set up protective perimeters and traffic blockades, engage in crowd control, and otherwise demonstrate a military presence in and around Los Angeles, those actions violate laws that have been in place since the late 1800s. That, again, coming off the pen of a federal district court judge in California. This, of course, the latest in a series of decisions being made about that. You may recall another judge, Frimpong, who had to instruct federal officials on the circumstances under which they can detain and arrest people. Again, encountering them in the streets, having to explain once again to law enforcement that you can't arrest people, can't detain people unless you've got a reasonable suspicion to believe that they have committed a crime. The decision just this past week, just in recent days, by Judge Breyer adds more force to that. And when we come back here in the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll tell you exactly what the judge has done in that case that has implications beyond just Los Angeles, beyond just Washington, D.C. We'll talk all about that and more here on the Maggie Dawn Show.